The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise?
All right, welcome back to another edition of In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist of and proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy, Mequon, Thingsville. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How you doing, sir?
Morning, Earl. I'm doing great. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm great, man. It's always good to have you on. I look so forward to our conversations every Thursday because I... You know, just managing my own health is so much more important, especially since I've had these conversations with you. I went to see my
primary.
No. It's amazing that I forgot epidermis. No, what is it?
Dermatologist?
No, not dermatologist. It's the person who monitors the fact that I don't have a thyroid. What is it called?
The endocrinologist.
The endocrinologist. So I went to see my endocrinologist on Monday.
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen my endocrinologist since last year. Been a year. Right. So I come in and get to see and sit down with the nurse, and they take my pressure and those kind of things and say a few words. The endocrinologist walks in. Hey, how you doing, sir? It's good to see you. It's good to see you. She looks, she says, oh, all these things look pretty good here. You know,
your TSH is fine.
Yeah.
That's what they check.
Right.
The T4, the free T4 is fine. That's something that they check for.
Yeah. Right. She said, so all these things are fine. She said, you're really doing well. I think we'll see you again. So she took, she took the stethoscope and listened to my heart. And we had maybe about another minute of conversation, and I'll see you next year.
Yeah.
So I know it's not her fault, right? She's got a...
She's a lot of people after you and before you, right?
So that's why it's so important that we have the conversation with you. Because it's a missing link, I think, to healthcare. Is it safe to say that, sir?
It is safe to say that. I just want to make sure that I try to pinpoint certain information that are going to be very important for people to realize and understand. Checking the thyroid, the doctor look at the TSH level, which is a marker, biomarker for the health of the thyroid gland. Doctor check the TSH, the free T4, sometimes the T3. Sometimes it's only the TSH and they tell you, okay, it is fine. But there are other biomarkers also. If you request it from the doctor and they check it, it might be showing or indicating if you have problems in the thyroid that are not identified, which is the reverse T3 and if you have also antibodies to the thyroid. And the reason I am mentioning that is because the T4 is the inactive form of the thyroid gland, need to be transformed to the T3 to work. if you have problem in the conversion, then the thyroid medication might need to be adjusted. So if the reverse T3 is a biomarker that you can always request from your doctor to make, but if the numbers are high, this means there is problem in the conversion, Earl. So the question is going to be always, do I need to change my thyroid medication? And by monitoring, doing more tests on your thyroid, this information gives more data to the endocrinologist to adjust the dose and or change the medication as needed, because some patients don't need to take T4 or levothyroxine or Synthroid. They might also benefit from adding T3 because they have problem in the conversion of the thyroid gland from T4 to T3.
So this is the reason I brought it up, Dr. Omar. So I spent a total of maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes having dialogue and conversation with my endocrinologist. And she clearly looked at blood tests that had been taken. And that's how she can determine any of these things. And we didn't have time to sit down and discuss what it is you're talking about. Right.
Yeah.
And then she said, I'll see you next year. So,
and if you were trying to make an appointment, it's going to be 6 months.
Yeah. Yes. So, but let me ask you, hormones, what are hormones and why are they so important to the human being?
Hormones are chemical messengers in the body that kind of take a message and then they would tell the body to do a certain function. And they are very important for how they work and the balance between them. Hormones can be sex hormones like testosterone, estrogen, DHEA, cortisol is a hormone, insulin is a hormone. So the balance of those hormones is very important. And when they go out of balance, this is something that needs to be rectified. Endocrinologists look at the insulin hormone. They look at the thyroid hormones. The challenge that happens there is like the conventional medicine or the healthcare system is looking for a disease that happened to those hormones. And before the disease, if they go out of whack, out of balance, this is what the functional medicine looks at, how to improve the function so the imbalance doesn't turn to a disease. So I just try to use simple terms to explain what they are, but they're just chemical messengers that do a function, very important to be in balance. I want this basic information to be in the mindset of every listener with us.
So you talked about the different functions, some of the different functions of the hormones that are created in our body, but there are other hormones as well that that address all these other different systems in the body. Is it? I'm just trying to get to.
Yeah. So just to give an implication of how important certain hormones are for a human being, for males, men, testosterone hormone. We hear about testosterone and we think about muscles. All right. So testosterone is a sex hormone. It helps to manufacturing of the bones. It helps with making of proteins and muscle formation. So if you're low on testosterone, you have problems in your muscle formation and proteins. Helps to control blood sugar, normal sperm development. Helps to regulate the stress and the changes that can happen to the men under stress. And the problem that happened with testosterone is that there is significant less amount of testosterone produced over the years from the human, for men specifically. Like, it's safe to say that every year men lose like 1% of the testosterone production in their bodies. So monitoring the changes in this important hormone for a man is very important to see if imbalance need to be corrected, and having low testosterone levels in men doesn't warrant the need for using testosterone exogenously or topically or injectable right away, because there are natural ways to improve the balance in hormone levels. And this is also another basic information that I want every man to understand and learn.
But once a hormone level gets to a point where it's so low, you know, so they've got these different marketed, you know, capsules and things that people can take to upgrade their hormones. How successful are those things, Dr. Omar?
That's a very good question. But let's just say that I'm not a doctor, but I am a healthcare professional. I am a pharmacist, and I specialize in consultations with hormone levels, and I work with a lot of doctors to help with monitoring and adjusting hormone levels. If a man is less than 42 years old, it's always best to increase levels of testosterone naturally. So we try to look at certain things: lifestyle changes, foods that we eat, stress, sleeping, healthy sleeping, and then looking at foods that you can eat to increase testosterone levels, like pomegranate juice, 4 ounces a day, helps to increase testosterone levels according to validated research. Pomegranate juice, the actual juice, like the POM brand that you can get from any department store.
Not with sugar and additives.
Yeah, without sugars and additives, yes. But if you're worried about increasing the blood sugar, you can take it as a supplement. Pomegranate supplement can come 300 or 400 milligram a day. That can naturally increase and boost testosterone levels. Magnesium. If you take 400 milligram of magnesium a day, it helps to increase testosterone by a mechanism in the body that make available more free testosterone. And when you go check for your testosterone levels, you need to do a free testosterone test. That's what tell you what's available for the body to utilize to help with the function in the body. So I just want to tell you, there are certain things that we're not doing, and then we seek medications. Before we do or seeking a medication or normalizing it or taking it topical or injectable or any form, let's do the due diligence. Let's do our homework. Make sure that we're working on our stress level. We're working on, you know, the things that we can manage that are not going to cost us any money. And then I work on the foods that I eat. Eating breakfast is going to increase your testosterone levels because you're going to be less stressed through the day.
844-967-2789. If you have any questions or comments, now is the time. You are in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor and owner of WellPoint Pharmacy in Mech 1 Thingsville, and my guest every Thursday on the Earl Ingram Show. In the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of WellPoint. WellTopia Pharmacy. You know, and Mech 1 Things. But let me ask you, Dr. Omar, drug shortages at the highest rate since 2014, chemo drugs, ADHD medications, the weight loss drugs, all of these drugs and many others, some 323 drugs in number,
are
at a shortage. I don't understand. So, you know, if you can help me understand, because in the way I think that, hey, the only way that they could be in a shortage is if they're not producing enough of them to keep the prices high.
Yeah.
So when we talk about a drug like a chemo drug, you know, Dr. Omar, the importance of that drug, how is it possible that there's this constant shortage, as important a drug as that is? What are your thoughts on how that can be?
It started with like it has there have always been drug shortages, and there is what is called shortage list by the FDA that they would provide. And this shortage list was used by compounding pharmacies because anything on the shortage list can be compounded. During the COVID times, the shortage list increased because of the raw material availability, because of the closure of certain plants. There was a problem in certain manufacturing plants in out of the United States, and when the FDA inspected them, they found that there was growth of something weird that they did not like. So that caused shortage of an important blood pressure medication at that time. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. But then this year, we are having new kind of shortage due to wars and the supply chain problems. So suddenly, we're seeing problems in certain medications that we never had shortage of, just because the supply chain is outside of the United States. We are importing a lot of the raw materials and drugs to the United States. So anything that happens in China or India or Israel or certain countries that control certain generic manufacturers, that would cause a problem inside the United States. And I know that there are efforts to bring back a lot of this drug manufacturing inside the United States, but that's also, it doesn't happen overnight. That will increase the prices and have a lot of challenges that happen with it. So it's a complex problem. Then there's another problem that happened also that I want to discuss, the insulin. The price of insulin have been reduced dramatically this year, and that made, unfortunately, the shift for production of insulin go towards other brand name medications. So we are finding shortages in medications like Lantus, like Humalog, certain medications that are key for people to use, and we're finding the drug manufacturers saying we have shortages. So it's a complex problem, and it makes patients so worried, calling different pharmacies to find if they have the supply of their medications, and it's an ongoing issue, and just it's very stressful for any pharmacy now, because we have significant number of phone calls just to ask, do you have this medication or not?
So, Dr. Omar, what you just said points out one of the major problems in our country, the fact that Eli Lilly, F. Doman, and other drug manufacturers that used to be inside of this country did the same thing that automobile manufacturers did, took their companies overseas for cheaper, you know, cheaper production and bigger profits. And so at the same time, these things have occurred, and now we are at this position. You talked about the insulin. It's not a coincidence that President Biden and Congress capped insulin at $35. Now all of a sudden there's a shortage of insulin in the country.
It's no more profitable for those companies. For the first time that it's happening now that we see these shortages, and it's happening just coincidentally, like just by chance, just after this capping of the price of the insulin. So it's just it's a weird coincidence.
Let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. On the subject of hormone therapy, I receive hormone therapy myself, and it's not prescribed by an endocrinologist, but rather by my functional medicine doctor. And so I have complete confidence in this person. And through comprehensive lab testing and focus on lifestyle medicine, I feel like I'm in good hands with the functional medicine MD. And I'd just like to ask Dr. Omar's familiarity and comment about functional medicine. Thank you.
Thank you as always, Mary.
So to me, functional medicine is longevity medicine. Functional medicine is what I am doing to make sure that I don't get a disease and I live the best that I can. I believe in functional medicine, and I want to say that this is the complementary medicine to the conventional medicine. And the best case scenario is the communication that happens between the conventional medicine and the functional medicine. The endocrinologist is always looking for a disease to treat. The functional medicine is looking for complaints that you would have to help you with, like hot flashes, not being able to sleep, feeling blues and not feeling happy. If you go to conventional medicine, you tell them you have problems with like thinking a lot and you're just not sleeping and you have those thoughts, they're going to put you on an antidepressant. Functional medicine is going to look at the stress level. It's going to do gut analysis to see if you're eating something that is bothering you. It's going to test your hormones and check the levels to see if they are out of balance. So I work with functional medicine practitioners every single day. I work with women and men to help manage and help them with managing their hormone levels. And I believe that every human being deserves to live the best until the last moment of their lives, just to live healthy. So functional medicine can be a broad term and used sometimes in the incorrect place. But the core of it is the marriage between conventional medicine and longevity medicine.
So what is the difference, again, of functional, a functional doctor?
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. A woman at the age between 35 and 45 goes through hormonal changes between the perimenopause to menopause, when they have period to not having a period. At this time, the hormonal change can cause problems like hot flashes, not being able to sleep, increase in weight. Functional medicine will look at that and help to kind of figure out what's the core problem and help with a solution.
All right. 844-967-2789. In the Pharmacy with Omar, the pharmacist. He is the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mech 1, Thingsville. 844-967-2789 is the number. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You have entered in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of Welltopia, Mech 1, Thingsville. Let me ask you something, Dr. Omar. Our phone line's open at 844-967-2789. I'm beginning to believe that there are as many vitamins as there are alphabets.
Yeah.
So I was reading this story about the fact that sometimes we're not getting enough vitamin K.
Yes.
So tell us now, if you take a multivitamin, like a Centrum or whatever the name of the different vitamin is, and we believe that those vitamins we're taking, multivitamins, will cover all of these deficiencies of the vitamins that our body needs. Give us some information on where we are with that.
any person that comes to my pharmacy and doesn't take vitamins and they are leaving, I try to have them leave with three main vitamins, a multivitamin, omega-3 fish oil, and the probiotics. Gut health is very important. If you take a multivitamin, I want to make sure that you are able to extract those core nutrients from the multivitamin and omega-3 fish oil, because we don't have enough omega-3 in the foods that we eat. Now, vitamin K plays an important role in the blood clotting and bone health. And we have to differentiate between K1, which is the one for the clotting, and the K2, which is less common in the Western diet and primarily found in fermented foods, some animal products, but we don't have enough. Increasing the amount of K2 that we take helps to build stronger bones, because it helps to direct the vitamin D towards the bones where it belongs, and also helps to protect the heart. And the nice thing is some of the agents, some of the vitamins that help to increase vitamin K2 also helps to increase testosterone levels according to validated research. So if you take a multivitamin, you're at least doing something. But if you take a cheap multivitamin that doesn't have enough of what you need, that it can be different from another multivitamin that has 10 times better value because it's coming from a better company that makes it, that validates the product.
You know, Dr. Omar, I began again this segment with talking about there are as many vitamins as there are alphabets.
Yes.
Almost true, right?
Yeah, almost true. The multivitamin is going to have the vitamin C, the vitamin, some amount of vitamin D, maybe from 500 units to 2,000 units. It's going to have the vitamin B, some of the vitamin Bs. It's going to have some chromium to help with the blood sugar balance. It's going to have some lutein, zeaxanthin, to help with eye health. It's going to have some minerals to help you. So it's complementary to the food that you eat, Earl, because we're not eating very healthy diet. We eat a sad diet. It's very sad, you know, standard American diet.
We need
to fix that.
Have you been in my kitchen lately? You know, and part of it too, Dr. Omar, is the foods that are packaged and that are being sold are bereft of the things that you're talking about themselves.
Yeah. In my consultations, I try to tell my patients, when you go to the department store, try to go over the edges. Don't go in the middle, because the middle is where you have the packaged food. And on the edges, you're going to have the actual food, you know, the plants, the vegetables. This is, you need to make, the more that you make real food in your house, the healthier that you are, the healthier gut that you have, better extraction of foods you have. Fixing the gut is core for health, and fixing the gut is number one thing that you can do, is to work on your kitchen and on your meals, spending time, serene time with breakfast, Earl. 10, 15 minutes in the morning with breakfast, because I find that most people don't eat breakfast and they think that taking coffee is going to be enough, actually. And they run on cortisol all day long without enough food in their gut to support them in the crucial assignments of what they have to do. So just eating breakfast and spending time with a home-cooked meal, this is integral to your health. Less stress, better sleep, and less food at night, because we're used to eating just one meal at night that we eat and sleep, store the food that we eat in the glycogen, and it's just not enough.
So is it still, you know, the government still believe that three meals a day is sufficient? Or has that three meals a day belief been kind of, you know, debunked?
I believe in three meals a day, because I don't have a lot of fats, and if I don't eat, I just get to be super stressed. So if you eat a healthy breakfast before 10 a.m., eat breakfast like a king, eat lunch at maybe 2 or 3 like a prince, and then eat dinner like a poor man. Eat a small meal for dinner. This is what I believe in. This is what I believe in, and this is what is going to make your health optimum. Better meals, stronger meals early on the day, and then you're going to be less snacking in the middle if you eat actual meals. You know,
that's kind of the opposite of what we've been taught. the big family meal was at dinner time, and you sat down, and so it turns out that that probably, after research, is not the right way to do it.
Unfortunately, omeprazole and pantoprazole and gut-helping acid reflux medication is on the rise because of that. Yes, if we eat a meal and then we go to sleep, we're going to have acid reflux and we're going to have gut issues. And I see patients every day telling me, this one pill or capsule, I cannot get rid of. I can get rid of everything, but I can't get rid of my PPI or omeprazole or pantoprazole because they're very hard to get rid of. They help with the symptom of acid reflux. The core issue is that you need to fix your eating habits and your gut. And it's fixable, but it takes time. You cannot just go cold turkey on certain medications. I'm sorry I'm jumping from topic to another, but it's all connected.
No. You're doing fine. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Omar. First off, these people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Dr. Omar, what I wanted to say to you is a lot of people now are taking Ozempic, and they're taking these, they're using it as a weight loss drug rather than as a insulin drug. And from my research that I've done, Ozempic and things like that are basically helping people lose weight, but at the same time, it's making them skinny fat because it's actually taking away the muscles and the muscle content away from their body. So I would recommend everyone don't take that stuff for like weight loss because, one, you're depriving the people that do need the drug for things like diabetes. But, two, it's not going to do what you think it's going to do. It's going to make you skinny fat. It's not going to make you a healthy type of person on a weight loss regime.
Hey, Tom.
I'm wondering if you could respond about that, if you could give us some feedback.
Hey, Tom, I'll accept skinny fat.
All right.
Hey, great questions, Tom. Thank you. Go ahead, Dr. Omar.
Great question, Tom. So we have to differentiate between the Ozempic and Mounjaro and the other medications like Wegovy and the other medications that are actually FDA approved for weight loss. The challenge that Tom is saying is that people go for a prescription on these GLP-1 agonists and the other tirzepatide medications that help with weight loss quick and fast. I know doctors who, if someone comes to them to help with weight loss using any of these agents, if they don't get proteins with those medications, if they don't dispense it and buy it from the doctor's office, they don't dispense them these medications. Because the problem that happens is that these medications can help with 15% weight loss. You lose weight in a short period of time, and then you're skinny fat, but you're actually losing your muscles, your muscle mass. So it's very important to eat proteins and eat proteins in the morning. And if you don't eat enough proteins, you need to take hydrolyzed protein, pea protein, plant, whatever you like. But just you're spending money to help with weight loss program, taking these medications, spend money on better eating habits and more proteins. And I totally agree with you, Tom. If I'm going to only depend on these medications to be skinny fat, well, I'm going to be skinny fat as long as I can afford it. And when I can't afford it anymore, I will gain back all the weight that I gained because I depended on a prescription for weight loss and didn't depend on what is needed, which is changing my habits. And the medication is only a tool to help me, a healthier lifestyle, encourage me to continue with my weight loss or better eating habits program.
You know, let's do this. Let's go back to the phone lines and David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. You know, one thing I know it sounds crazy, but has not, at least I haven't heard being brought up. It's actually giving blood. Blood actually helps burn calories. Granted, you can't do it like every week, but it does a lot of good for the body as far as you know, cleansing it and also, you know, promoting, I think, you know, getting rid of some of the chemicals that you have and that can build up. So I'm not sure what your guest thinks, but I do know that there's a lot of benefits to that. And one of them is losing some calories in the process.
Dr. Omar, thank you very much for the call, Dave. Dr. Omar.
Yes, I agree. I agree that donating the blood helps to replenish the blood cells, replenish the fluids that are lost during the donation. On average, donating 1 pint of blood, about 470 ml, can burn about 650 calories in the body. And the body works to restore the blood volume. And some patients, when they go to the doctor's office, they check, they tell them it's better that you would donate blood because it helps them with healthier lifestyle and better energy. So it has bonuses to it. It's not for everybody. Also, for patients who are taking testosterone exogenously, they need to always ask the doctor about this question. If they have more hematocrit count, if they need to donate blood. But it's, I think, one of the activities that we are missing, and it also helps and supports the community.
844-967-2789. In the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon, Thiensville. Now's the time. You know, he's on every Thursday with me from 9 to 10, and I don't think a better hour can be spent anywhere.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon, Thiensville. Let me ask you, Dr. Omar, 844-967-2789 is the number. You know, every time I'm on with you, I'm always having the conversation with you about, you know, those of us who've been around a little while and talking about our maladies that you know, have befallen us as the evil consequences of time take their toll on us. But what about, you know, prevention for children and what we should be doing with our children, you know, Dr. Omar, to prevent some of the things that we wind up, you know, having to deal with? Is it a good question?
Yes, two things we can do to support our children in their future and in their present and their past. Feed them breakfast and take out the screen time. Make them cry and take the screen time. Let it be 1 hour a day. Let it be on the weekends 2 hours a day. It will change their lives. feeding breakfast, because if they don't eat breakfast, they run all day on the fuel of their stress. They burn their muscles. They don't have enough mental power. And I realize that my kids, we wake them up, we send them to the school. When I feed them breakfast, I get less complaints from my school, okay? My kids' school, that's primarily. The other thing is, like, screen time has been a plague. It's just changing our lives. So I want parents to spend time with their kids and have their kids go to activities. Two simple things to do. And we go from there.
So some people think that breakfast is a sugary cereal. We see it on television constantly. You know, I mean, you know, my children ate, you know, those cereal because we didn't know any better. And that's what we saw. Is feeding them a bowl of frosted cereal, is that a good thing for breakfast?
It's not the best option for breakfast, Earl. But to be honest with you, I just want to have a sitting on the table and start with the cereal today and start to introduce a new item to the table that they like every single day. Find a healthy snack that there's chips that are better than other chips. Find a healthy snack that they can take in their backpack. I tell my kids, take this snack. They tell me, I don't want it. I'm not going to eat it. I tell them, okay, take it, bring it back home. Because I get an email from the teacher telling me it's better to have a snack in the backpack because one of your kids, let's say, gets angry or something. If they are well fed, better fed at this time, it's better for their anxiety or whatever that they go through. So I just want them to sit at the table, eat something, and introduce better choices day after day. And it's going to be where I start. I want to open the door. I want them to sit and feel like they are eating something before they leave the house. That makes a big difference in their health.
So what happens to the body if we get up in the morning and not eat breakfast? And sometimes there are people who talk about fasting, Dr. Omar. They don't eat until the evening based on the fact that whatever fast it is they're on, they don't eat until the evening. Your thoughts on that?
According to the circadian rhythm of the body, when you wake up in the morning, insulin is produced between 5 and 7 a.m. If you don't eat breakfast before 10 a.m., you are going against the metabolism of your body. And if you chronically you don't eat breakfast, you're going to develop problems in your insulin. You can get diabetes type 2 or insulin sensitivity issues. So eventually your blood sugar will go up. When you don't eat breakfast, your stress hormone is going up because you are under the fight or flight mood. But at the same time, you are not feeding the lion that's chasing you in the morning. When you eat breakfast, you feel more secure. Your body is more secure. That happens for the young, for the old, for all of us. So if you want to do intermittent fasting, eat a very early breakfast and a late dinner. And remember to leave a couple of hours before you go to bed. So it's fine to do intermittent fasting, eating breakfast. But according to what I learned from health experts, doctors, most of them agreed that breakfast is the most important meal in the day.
You know, you just give us so much information, Dr. Omar, and I want the listening audience really to embrace what we're doing here every Thursday. Mark it down on your calendar. Tell somebody you love, your family members and others. Because this information that Dr. Omar is providing us, you're not going to get it. Most places, you're not going to get it from your doctor. And in most instances, you know, the pharmacists at the corporate pharmacies don't have the time. And these things do make a difference. You know, Dr. Omar, some of the supplements that I've gotten from you that I have, you know, been taking, you know, make me feel like a lion and I'm ready to roar. It's true. And so, you know, my energy level has certainly picked up and, you know, you don't know. We're just average people who haven't studied what you as a pharmacist or what the doctor has studied. We don't know anything about the makeups of this wondrous machine called the body. We don't know it. We just know I have two arms, two legs, you know, a nose, a mouth, two eyes. But it requires maintenance. Is it safe to say that, Dr. Omar?
Yes, it requires a village to move our body, and we need to get all help we can from professionals who know what they're doing.
Dr. Omar, all right. We'll see you next Thursday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow with Sandy Williams. Enjoy the rest of the day. Up next, Jane Matinere, Matinere on Air, and Greg Bach. See you later.